All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Ayin Tes 79. We are picking up on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We are picking up on 78b at the Mishnah. To thank our sponsors for this morning's share, to thank Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in appreciation for all of the learning, and shiurim coming out of the Kehila, as well as Dafyomi sponsors Robert and Lisi Lilienfeld in honor of their anniversary. So incredibly beautiful. But say also an anonymous sponsorship in the Swiss of Rafu Shalimar for Rachel Yehudis Bas Tova Gittel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Choli Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. And I both say with that, let us begin. So the Mishnah says as follows: Choritz Shebein Beis Chatzeros. Amok Yud v'rochav Dalet. We'll say Mishnah Ayin Chesam Adbeis. You have a charetz. A charetz is a ditch. A ditch in between two chatzeros. We'll say in the previous Mishnahs we were speaking about a wall in between two chatzeros. Now we are focusing ultimately on a ditch between two chatzeros. So a ditch between two chatzeros. Amok Yud v'rochav Dalet. It's 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide. So we'll say obviously we've already learned that the concept of a mechitza could go ahead and extend upwards or downwards, right? It works either way. So here, obviously, instead of having a wall, you have a ditch. The ditch extends downward 10 tefachim, 4 tefachim across. So what's the halacha? If you have such a ditch in between two chatzeros, ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. The two chatzeros could only make two independent eruvim and cannot combine to form one united Erev. Because Rebbe said the ditch of that size with those dimensions, so ultimately, again, cuts off the two chaseros, one from the other. Afilu malikash otevin. Rebbe said this is true even if the ditch itself was filled with straw, or hay. So the Gemara says, mali afarotzoros. Rebbe said, however, if the ditch was filled with dirt or with pebbles, with rocks, Ma'arvin Echron ve'im Ma'arvin Shnayim. So this is interesting. So Mishnah seems to indicate that a ditch that is filled with straw or with stubble, so the halacha is that straw or stubble does not negate the ditch. The ditch is still considered to be as if it exists, and therefore halacha l'maisa, the two chatzeros are reckoned as two independent chatzeros, cannot join in a common eruv. However, and Rashi points out over here, v'lav stimahi, d'lo mevatali hasim d'sofa litlo. Because also here's the chilek. Straw and stubble is used as animal food. So because it's used as animal food, therefore again, it's not going to remain in the ditch. You're going to take it out. So because you're going to take it out, therefore again, it does not become bottle in the ditch. Because it doesn't become bottle in the ditch, therefore the ditch is still considered to be as if it fully exists. And therefore, Allah Chalamayisa, the two chatzeros are separate. Masha inkein, if you have dirt or pebbles, so we'll say, so that when you put that into a ditch, that has a degree of permanence. Because it has a degree of permanence, therefore, halacha l'maisa, it effectively is mevatel the ditch. It's mevatel the ditch. Therefore, I will say again, ma'arvin echar ve'im ma'arvin shnayim. So I will say, if you have a ditch that's filled in with dirt, so then I will say, what do you have? Well, what you don't have is a ditch. And therefore, again, the two chateros are you can only join in one common era because now these areas are fully open one into the other and they cannot make their own separate and distinct eruvim. Nasan alav neser sherachav arba tfachim. I will say if across the ditch you lay a board that is 4 tfachim wide and that board goes across the ditch, then what? V'chein beiz gusteros zu kineged zu. Or I will say, for example, if you have two balconies on two homes and those two balconies are opposite each other and same idea, you place a board from one balcony to the next, and the board itself, Rabbi say, is 4 tefachim wide. Ma'arvin shnayim, v'imratzu ma'arvin echad. So Rabbi say, the presence of a board that is 4 tefachim wide, connecting two areas, effectively serves as an entranceway. Well, once you have an entranceway, then the two areas, you have a choice. You can go ahead and make one joint eruv, or you can make two separate eruvim. That is your choice, Rabbi say. Therefore, says the Gemara as follows. But if halacha l'maisa, again, the board is not 4 tefachim wide, and therefore, again, lacks the requisite shear to be an entranceway, ma'arvin shnayim ve'im ma'arvin echad. In that case, ultimately, again, they could only make two different eruvim and cannot make one joint eruv. Good. Says the Gemara. We'll say, here we go. The tevin lo chai. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah made a distinction between a pit that is filled with dirt and pebbles versus a pit that is filled with straw. So the Mishnah indicated that a dirt pit that is filled with straw, it's no different than a pit that's totally empty. And the logic seems to be because halacha lamaisa, people are going to take the straw out of there for their animals. And therefore, halacha lamaisa, it's not bottle. So v'tevin lochai, is that true that straw in a pit does not go in and serve to fill in the pit? V'han antena, but we learned, mitvon shebein shtei chatzeros. Both said, this is our next Mishnah. So ultimately, if you have a haystack, in between two chatzeros, and the haystack itself is 10 tefachim high. A haystack of 10 tefachim high is a mechitza. It's a mechitza. It's a wall. And therefore, again, halacha lamaisa, the two chatzeros cannot join in a common eruv. They can only join again. They have two separate eruvim. So you see that a haystack can serve as a mechitza. This is very interesting. So Abaye says, everyone agrees that a pile of straw, a straw stack, right, can go ahead and serve as a mechitza. There's a chelik between a mechitza and a chatzitza. A mechitza simply is a physical barrier. So if you have a physical barrier that's 10 tefachim high, that's a wall. It doesn't really matter what it's made of. If it's a wall, it's a wall, and therefore it's chotzeitz. And therefore halacha lemaisa, or I should say, therefore it's a mechitza. And therefore halacha lemaisa, it divides the two areas. A chatzitza, Rabosei, is something that is considered to be a filler. In this case, chatzitza is a little bit different than the way we normally think about it. We normally think about chatzitza as an interposition for tevila purposes. In this context, the word chatzitza means a filler. For filler purposes, avalein chatzitza ibatli chayitzi lo batli lochay. So this makes a lot of sense. In terms of a filler for a ditch, we'll say the only time that the filler is considered to be a filler is when, I don't know if filler is the right word, but you understand, right? Is when you're going to leave it there. You're going to leave it there. But if the filler that is being used ultimately for the ditch is not something that's going to remain there, but rather it's something that's going to be moved, that's not called a filler. So we'll say, very important distinction. So straw and stubble as a pile could serve as a mechitza, but straw and stubble as a chatzitza, a filler for a ditch, won't work. Won't work because it's only to be moved. Now we'll say, now we're going to see an exception to this rule in just a moment. So I'll just tell you this. We'll say there's a distinction when it comes to, so it sounds like over here from the Gemara, that straw and stubble can never serve as the filler for a ditch. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see this, but I just wanted to say it now also. Shulchan Aruch points out, of course, if a person says, I'm leaving this straw inside of the ditch, then what's the halacha? Then it is a filler. Then it is a chatzitza, which makes sense. Or is all it's saying is that stam straw, right? If you fill a ditch with straw, you don't specify anything about it, then halacha lamaisa, that straw does not serve as a filler for the ditch, because the nature of straw is you're going to take it out, you're going to use it. But a person says, I'm never using this straw. I'm not. I'm leaving it here in the ditch. Then einachinami, it becomes a chatzitza, it becomes a filler. We'll see that in a little bit. Mali afar, but yet again, the Mishnah said that if you fill the ditch with dirt, so dirt is a filler, the ditch is bottle, and the two chatzeros must join in one common eruv, says the Gemara, v'afilu b'stama. Now, here's what's interesting. So now, let's say I fill my ditch with dirt. I don't say anything. I don't say I'm leaving the dirt there. I'm not leaving the dirt there. So that's called stama. See, it sounds like from the Mishnah that if you fill the ditch with dirt, even if you say nothing, you don't articulate your intentions at all, the dirt is considered to be a filler. Is that so? But now we learn in Baishim, we'll have an otsuroros ubitlo bottle. But it's an interesting case. If you have a home, very quickly, if you have a home and there's a corpse in the home, there's corpse tumas meis. Generally, tumas meis is contained in the house. Right? It doesn't go ahead and go past the roof. However, if there's a corpse in the home and the home is filled from ground to ceiling, let's say with dirt or with straw or with something else, the halacha is that the tuma is ola ubokas. In other words, we'll say, just see if you can imagine it, if the home has space, so the tuma is contained within the walls, within the structure of the home. If there's no space in the home, then the tuma is not contained in the home, the tuma goes straight up. So the Gemara says, if you have a home that you filled up with teven otsroros, straw, or dirt or pebbles, and you are mevatel it in the house, which means what? He said, I'm not moving the straw, I'm not moving the pebbles. The home is considered to be filled, and the tumah therefore goes up. What do you see from here? Bitlo in, type of ayin test, lo bitlo lo. So we'll see over even, now again, we're not worried about straw, but you see over here, even by pebbles and dirt, the only time the pebbles and dirt are considered to be the filler of the home is when you're mevatel it, which sounds like there needs to be an active bitl in order to go ahead and consider that the dirt and the stones are there. Amar Rav Huna, man tana olos. We'll say, who is the opinion over here of olos? Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, ultimately, again, it's a different opinion. I Rabbi Yossi. If Choshamin Lebro, say, if Rabbi Yossi, we see Rabbi Yossi on record with a different opinion. Where is Rabbi Yossi? This Sanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Teven, Ve'in Asilifno, sorry, Kistam Afar. Rabbi Yossi says, if you have straw, and you have no intention to remove the straw, so straw, without an intention to move it, is like Stam Afar. We'll say Stam Afar just means plain dirt. Dirt with which you have articulated or expressed no intention, it's batal. Ubatal. Afar va'asid lifnoso. We'll say if you have dirt and you're going to move that dirt, how do you kistam teven v'lo batal? Then it becomes like regular straw, and therefore it's not batal. So we'll say, you see over here that according to Rabbi Yossi, Stam Afar, if you just have dirt, we assume that dirt is going to remain where it is. El Amravasi, Man Tana Irevin, who is the opinion of our Mishnah Irevin? That's Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say, therefore, again, Rabbi Yossi is our opinion. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, Stam Afar, dirt, just Stam dirt. We assume that when you place dirt somewhere, what's going to happen? It's staying there. You put dirt in a ditch, unless you articulate otherwise, we assume that dirt is staying in a ditch. That it's different than straw. When you put straw in a ditch, you assume that what? The straw is going to be moved. Unless, of course, you articulate that the straw is going to remain in place. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Rav Yoshua Amar, Tuma Shabbos Karamis, why are you bringing a question from Tuma onto Shabbos? Hanach Iser Shabbos, Dafilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Inish. Oh, I will say, here we go. This is fascinating. You see, by Shabbos, the criteria for being mevatel something about say is fundamentally different. Why? Because on Shabbos, we're mevatel things all of the time. A person goes ahead and says, look at Rashi, afilu arniki, even your wallet, kis moli maus, batel sham, aval teven v'kash nitel mancho behema. So let's listen to this. You know, when it comes to Shabbos, so a person has an item that's muktzah, they leave that item and they're mevatel that item all of the time. So by Shabbos, the halachos of bittel are very different. Rav Ashi Amar Bayis Acharitz Karamis, why are you comparing the case of a home by Tuma to a ditch? Bishlam Acharitz Limitmiyekai, Ava Bayis Limitmiyekai. But we'll say, here's the difference also. It could very well be that in a home, and we'll say, remember again, what did the Mishnah say by all those? The Mishnah said that if you have a corpse in a home and that home is filled with dirt, if you are mevatel the dirt, then ultimately again the home is considered to be filled and the tumah ascends upwards. If you weren't mevatel the dirt, then the dirt is not considered to be a filler for the home, and therefore the tumah is contained in the home. So the Gemara is bringing that as a contradiction to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah seemed to indicate that what? If you fill a ditch with dirt, even if you were not mevatel the dirt, the ditch is considered to be filled. To which Rav Ashi says, you can't compare those cases, Rav Osei. When you fill a home with dirt, home is not a place where people store dirt. So obviously, unless you're mevatel that dirt, the assumption is that what? The dirt is going to be removed. Masha Inkin, a ditch is a place that people normally store dirt or put dirt. And therefore, again, it's quite possible that when you fill the ditch with dirt, even if you're not explicitly mevatel it, we assume that bit. And Rabbi say that is indeed the halacha as espoused in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you go ahead and you fill a ditch with dirt, the assumption is that dirt is there to stay. It's batal. So dirt, pebbles, that fills in a ditch. So Rabbi say, just to plug this back in, if you have a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, in between two chatzeros, so before that ditch is filled in, what's the halacha lagabe erivin? Two separate erivin. two separate distinct areas, can't make a joint Eruv. If you fill it in with dirt, this is obviously talking about before Shabbos, you fill it in with dirt before Shabbos, that totally negates the ditch. Even if you did not express any intention, lagabe the dirt. Because the assumption is, when you fill in a ditch with dirt, that dirt is there to stay. There is no needed expression or articulation of intent. That is different than straw and stubble. Straw and stubble, because it is used for animal food, even if you put it inside of a ditch, the default assumption is you're going to be taking it out. You're going to be using it. So because that's the default assumption there for halacha lemaisa, it's not mevatel the ditch. But if you were to place straw and stubble into the ditch and what? Articulate and say, I'm leaving it here in the ditch, then the halacha is that indeed would be mevatel the ditch. Good. Everything you need to know about ditches by Irvin. Nasan alav nasa shoch of dalet. Next case the Mishnah Bosei is you have a ditch. Now you place a board across that ditch that obviously goes across the ditch and has a minimum width of 4 tefachim. So what's the halacha? Amarava lo shana ela shanasan l'rachbo. That's only true if you placed the length of the board across the width of the ditch, which I will say, that's how you imagine it, right? In other words, you're placing a board across a plank, across the ditch. However, Vala Arkel, listen to this. But if you go ahead and you place the board along, you place the length of the board along the length of the ditch, Afilu kol shehu nami. So we'll say, listen, this is actually very interesting. When do you need the plank? The board to be 4 tefachim wide, that's when you're placing the length of the board across the width of the ditch. So your mamash using the board as an entranceway. So an entranceway must be a minimum of 4 tefachim. But if you're placing the length of the board along the length of the ditch, then the board could have any amount of width, and it successfully bridges the gap between the two chatzeros. So we'll say, why does that work? So this is picture. This is picture 270. So we'll say, so again, the reason it works is because halacha lemaisa, we're talking about a ditch that has a width of 10 tefachim. Excuse me, that has a width of 4 tefachim. Right? It's 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. So pretty much, if you go ahead and you put a board, right, across, you put a board, the length of the board across the length of the ditch, what are you doing? You're minimizing the width of the ditch itself. Well, once you minimize the width of the ditch, I will say, what is that like? Going back to our wall case, what is that the equivalent of? Minimizing the height of the wall. What happens when you minimize the height of the wall? Well, again, either it can create an entranceway, if both sides do it, or it gives you usage on the top. See, interestingly enough, halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead, could you do me a favor? Just make sure that door is open. That it didn't close shut. Thank you. So I'll say, so if you go ahead and you put the length of the board along the length of the ditch, that successfully minimizes the area of the ditch, and therefore halacha lemaisa allows you to go ahead and make one joint eruv. Good, incredible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Losh. Good. V'chein shnei gustaros zukneged zuv. Say, so if you have two balconies opposite each other. So two balconies opposite each other could also, the Mishnah said, could also make a plank in between the two balconies. As long as the plank is 4 tefachim wide, the plank creates an entranceway between the two balconies, and halacha lemaisa, they can make one joint eruv. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, hada amar zu keneged zu, ein zu shalokin, I'm sorry, in zu shalokin neged zu, lo. So we'll say, this is only the two balconies are opposite each other, but if the balconies are not opposite each other, then of course this does not work. Vizu lo malam izu nami lo amar, ela sheyesh bein zel zeh shlosha tefachim. Furthermore, again, I will say, if one balcony is higher than the other, that does not work if there is a greater than a three tafach height differential between the two. Aval im bein zel zeh shlosha gustros akumahi. But I will say again, you can see this. This is pictures 271, 272. Rabbi said, even though the Gemara indicates to us that the balconies must be directly opposite each other, which indicates opposite and on the same level, in order to go ahead and make the same, or place a board. I'm sorry, there's two halachas over here actually. One is that the balconies have to be opposite each other. And again, along that same logic, halacha lemaisa, they have to be on the same level as each other. All the Gemara is saying over here is, even if they're not directly opposite each other, or that they're not directly on the same level as one another, as long as what? As long as there's not a greater than a 3 tefach differential between the two of them, you're good to go. Which I will say, we understand this already. That halacha l'maisa, anything that's within 3 tefachim. So therefore, I will say, if you have a height differential, or they're not exactly opposite each other, they're a little bit skewed, as long as they're within 3 tefachim of each other, ultimately, again, that allows the two gusteros to form, to join together in a common era. Beautiful. Mishnah. Mitvan shebein shtei chatzira. So here we go. Haystack. We just quoted this before on Ayin Chesamad Beis. You have a haystack in between two chatziros. Gava asar tfachim. And the haystack is 10 tfachim high. So what's the halacha? Ma'arvin shnayim ve'im ma'arvin echan. So we'll say again, a haystack could effectively act as a chatzir. A haystack acts as a chatzir, and therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, if it's 10 tefachim high, ultimately, again, divides the two areas, and halacha l'maisa makes them into two distinct areas. Ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad. So halacha l'maisa, again, they can make two eruvim, cannot make one eruv. Eilu ma'achilim mikan ve'eilu ma'achilim mikan. This is very interesting. Now, in this haystack case, now remember, hay, straw, is not muktzah on Shabbos. Why? Because it's used for animal food. So interesting, so imagine this scene. You have a haystack. There's no picture on this because we have to use some imagination. There's a haystack. The haystack is 10 tefachim high. The haystack is in between chatzeros A and B. So what's the halacha? Simple halacha. Haystack 10 tefachim high. Two separate chatzeros cannot join in one common eruv. Okay. So we'll say now what the Mishnah says is, by the way, the residents of A could take from the haystack, and the residents of B could take from their haystack. Eilu ma'achilin mikan, ve'eilu ma'achilin mikan. Everyone's allowed to go ahead and feed their animals from the haystack. What happens to Bosef as a result on Shabbos? Nisma'it ha'tevin me'asar tfachim, or Bosef, for that matter, before Shabbos. Right? Let's say again, the haystack then, as a result of everybody, quote-unquote, eating from it, or using it, the height of the haystack diminishes. So we'll say, of course, in that case, ma'arvin echad be'e ma'arvin shnayim. So we'll say, of course, if the height of the haystack diminishes below 10 tefachim, you no longer have a mechitza. And if you no longer have a mechitza, all you could do, the only right you have is to make one common eruv. You cannot make two separate eruvim. Good. Says the Gemara. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So the Mishnah told me that halacha l'maisa, when you have a haystack that's 10 tefachim high, that acts as a mechitza and divides the two chatzeros. So interestingly enough, the Mishnah also said, but each chatzir is permitted to go ahead and take the straw from the pile. Now the Gemara qualifies this. So what can't you do? Look at Rashi. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna says, that you could go ahead and allow your animal to eat from the haystack. What can't you do? You can't take hay with your hands and put it into the kupa, put it into, whatever, the trough or the feed bag of the animals. You can't take straw with your hay. You can't take it with your hands on Shabbos. I will say, what's the issue here? It can't really be mukta, right? Where it came mukta because it's animal food. If it's animal food, it's not mukta. Look at Rashi. It's very interesting. Shlo yitain biadayim l'soch kupa. So, dilma shakil tuva. Oh, we'll say, what's the concern? The concern, says Rav Huna, is if we allow you to take it with your hands, what's going to happen? You're going to take too much. You're going to take too much, the Gemara says. Umamit le ma'asara, the kamataltal b'chatzar ha'useres. Umachilin diktoni b'mastisin shebehema ba'va ocheles. V'hasam lo chashin lo. So let's listen to this. What's the concern? The concern is if I take straw with my hands, I'm going to what? Take too much straw. And if I take too much straw, then what? I diminish the height of the haystack. 10 tefachim, well, we'll say, so now what happens? I create a vicious cycle. I've taken too much hay, diminished the height of the partition of the haystack, thereby making the two chatzeros into one chatzer, which require one eruv. The problem is it's already Shabbos. Before Shabbos, it was 10 tefachim, so we made two different eruvim, which means I'm going to take too much and thereby diminish the height of the haystack, make the chatzeros into one joint area, and invalidate their individual eruvim. Therefore, halacha l'maaseh, says Rav Huna, you can't take straw with your hands. You could just leave the animal there. So why isn't that a concern by animals? So we'll say, listen to this. V'hasam lo chayshin en l'dilma mamit de'behema kali kali achla. Rashi says something very interesting over here. Rashi says that halacha l'maaseh, animals eat slowly. Animals eat slowly. And therefore, I will say, sometimes, so what could happen is when a person grabs something, they grab a lot at a time. Animals eat slowly. So therefore, I will say, over the course of a Shabbos, there's no concern that the animals are going to diminish the height of the haystack. But if I start taking it, it's got to be a fascinating muster in this as well. Right? That animals, it's interesting, apparently when animals consume, so they consume at the right pace. The problem with human consumption, and I'm just thinking like eating over, the problem with human consumption is that sometimes we take too much at any one particular time. Sometimes, again, there's not the proper pacing one's self in the Olam HaGashmios, in the material world, and there's just too much consumption at once. A fascinating idea to think about. In any event, Rashi says the other part, Rashi happens to advance another idea, and Rashi says over here, the other possibility is that because the straw was part of the mechitza on Erev Shabbos, therefore it is muktzah. Therefore it's muktzah. Therefore, again, I can't take it with my hands, but I can lead my animal ultimately to go ahead and eat from it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, V'ha'amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ma'amid Adam Espehemto al Gabe Asavim B'Shabbos, Ve'in Ma'amid Adam Espehemto al Gabe Muktzah B'Shabbos. Rabbi Sebab, we learned elsewhere that halacha l'maisa, a person could go ahead and Ma'amid Adam could place his animals on top of grass in order that the animals eat grass on Shabbos. But I can't go ahead and bring my animals to eat something muktzah on Shabbos out of a concern, Rabbi Sebab, that I may come to handle the muktzah myself. To which the Gemara says, "The koyim li ba'apa va'azla va'achla." Both say, "What's the case?" The case over here in our Mishnah is where I'm directing my animal, not by going ahead and essentially standing in front of it. So I lead my animal without direct involvement with my animal. Rashi says, "Lo'ukme behemto alatevin kadei le'achol shari v'lo gazvin dil moshakel bi'adayim v'safri le'alma charmel isut rabbanim lo averles." Well, listen to this. So the idea over here is that there's a concern about leading your animal with your hands to a muktzah item to eat, be out of a concern that I may come to handle the muktzah. Well, I both say, if that's the case, then how could I go ahead and lead my animal to the straw to eat? To which the Gemara says, you're right. I'm not really actively pulling my animal to eat from the straw. Rather, I'm directing my animal by standing in its way and kind of causing it to go in a particular direction. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, I'm sorry, I skipped a line over here. I'll say, I skipped. Ulu'ukmi shari, is it permissible to go ahead and take your animal to eat from the straw on Shabbos? After all, says the Gemara, a person could go ahead and take his animal to graze, could lead his animal to graze from grass on Shabbos. A person cannot actively lead his animal to eat from muktzah items on Shabbos. What's the concern of Osai? Because grass, there's no concern I'm going to go ahead and pick the grass, because that's an issur d'oraisa. There is a concern if I lead my animal to eat from muktzah items that I may come to handle the muktzah items. Well, the straw is muktzah for me because it is part of the mechitza, like the second girsa in Rashi. If that's the case, then halacha l'maisa, why am I permitted to lead my animal to eat from it on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, no, the kaim leba apa va'azla va'achla. I'm not actively pulling the animal or leading the animal to eat from the straw on Shabbos. Rather, what am I doing? But say, you could direct an animal even through without touching the animal. You just stand in the animal's way, forcing it to go in a different direction. So the situation over here is, I'm allowed to steer my animal to eat from the straw on Shabbos, even though, again, apparently, I am not permitted to actively lead my animal, to pull my animal to the straw on Shabbos. And remember, the Gemara qualified this. The Mishnah said, that halacha l'maisa, no, I'm sorry, this was the qualification of the Gemara of Rav Huna, that although I could allow my animal to eat from the straw, I cannot take from the straw and put it into my bag on Shabbos. Is that true? V'atanya, bayis shebein shteichat yerusim ulal tenu. Well, this is a very interesting case. You have a home in between two chatzeros, and the home itself is filled with straw. So we'll say, this is picture 273. So you can see, Rabbi, say, what you have over here is two chatzeros, two homes, both open onto a chatzer. In the middle of that chatzer is a home, is a structure that is filled with straw. So now watch this. Says the Gemara, Ma'arvin Shayim Ve'im Ma'arvin Echad. So the two homes have the ability to go ahead and, or I should say the two chatzeros, because there is a home that is filled with straw, that area that essentially acts as a partition, that pile of straw acts as a partition, continuation of the partition, and therefore the two chatzeros must make two independent eruvim, cannot make one joint eruv. So echad nos, I'm sorry, vein mar ben echad, zen nos in the soch kupaso v'yachil, vezen nos in the soch kupaso v'yachil. Both say each of their, and their members of their respective chatzeros have the right, however, on Shabbos to take from the straw, put it into their bags, and feed their animals. So we'll say, now you see what the kasha is going to be. Here the Brisa seems to clearly indicate that what? That on Shabbos, not only can you feed your animals from the straw, but what? You could take from the straw and put it into your bag. So the Gemara says, Nismayit atavim yutfachim. But if over the course of Shabbos, the height of the grain pile, or I should say of the straw pile, goes below 10 tfachim, the mechitza is no longer there, then what? Shneim asurim. Ultimately, again, both chatzeros will be aser. Now, we'll say it makes sense. Why are both chatzeros aser? Because before Shabbos, the height of that straw pile was 10 tefachim, which means it acted as a wall. Because it acted as a wall, chatzer A made its eruv, chatzer B made its eruv. If on Shabbos, the height of that straw pile dips below 10 tefachim, then suddenly, halachically, what happens? Those two areas are reckoned as one area. Well, the problem is they don't have a joint Eruv. If they don't have a joint Eruv, then no one is allowed to carry in their respective chatzeros. So how do you save the day? Keitzadu Osa. Shabbos say, what could he do? Noel as Beso, the members of one of the chatzer, right? One of the guys from the chatzer could close up his home. Umevatel es Rishuso. And he goes in and does bitl Rishus. Therefore, who aser v'chaveiro mutter? So we'll say, essentially, if one side of this, right, one side of this equation, one guy chooses to go ahead and essentially close his home and yield his rights, therefore, again, it's no longer chatzeros open to two people, but the entire chatzer is considered to be owned by one person or one entity, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, it allows the other one to go ahead and carry. So we'll say, so for example, if the members of chatzer beis lock up their apartment house, right, and yield their rights to the members of Chatzer A, then Einachinami, or whatever it is, right? Members of Chatzer B close up their home, yield their rights to the members of Chatzer A, then Halacha Lamaisa, again, the members of Chatzer A could carry, the members of Chatzer B cannot. V'chein Ata Omer, Begov Shel Tevin Shebein Beis Tchumi Shabbos. We'll say the same Halacha is if you have a pile of straw in between, or actually, Gov Rashi points out is a pit, right? If you go ahead and you have a pit in between two chatzeros, and that pit is filled ultimately again with straw. So what's the halacha? And it was the same halacha. So we'll say, so a pit filled with straw has the same halachas ultimately again as, well, I should say, the case between two tchumei Shabbos will be the same case as between a pit. A pile of straw in between two tchums has the same halachas as a pile of straw in between two chatzeros. Again, we're going to go through each case in the Brisa independently. Says the Gemara, Katani Vyasa, we'll say, but again, let's not lose sight. What are we focusing on over here? We said, Rav Huna said in the beginning of the Gemara, that you can allow your animal to eat from the straw pile. But what can't you do? You can't take it and put it into your bag. Yet the Brisa clearly indicates that Allah HaLamaisa, in this case over here, you can't take it and put it into your bag. So what's going on over here? Katani Mihaz Zanen Sanen Sel Kupas of Yochal, Vezeno Sen Sel Kupas of Yochal, or Viachil. So I'll say, Amri Bayis, Kevan Di'ika Tikra, Kimifchas Minkra Lei, Milsa Hacha La Minkra Lei Milsa. Oh, I will say, here we go. Let's go back for just a moment. Why did Rav Huna say that you could take your animal to eat from the straw pile, but you cannot take from the straw pile and put it into your bag? What was the reason? Remember again, what was the first Girsa and Rashi? The reason for that was why, Abosai? Because there's a concern. When animals eat, how do they eat? A little bit at a time. Therefore, again, we're not concerned that over the course of a Shabbos, animals are going to diminish the height of the pile. Masha'in came, when people come and grab stuff, they grab a lot at a time. Well, if they grab a lot at a time, there's a significant concern of diminishing the height of the pile. So we'll say, watch this. In the case of the Raisa, where is the pile of straw housed? Where is it? It's in a structure. So we'll say, what's the great part of being in a structure? It's more easy to discern the height of the pile. And as we'll say, when I walk in there Erev Shabbos and I see the height of the pile, I see the height of the pile relative to what? Relative to what? To the ceiling. Which means I will be easily able to discern if that pile dips below 10 tefachim. Masha'im came, and therefore again, I am permitted to take from the grain and put it into my bag. Masha'im came when that pile is outdoors. it becomes more difficult to be able to see, did the height diminish, height not diminish, and therefore, you know, if Huna says, you can allow your animal to eat from it, but you cannot allow, but you are not allowed to take it and put it into your bag. Fascinating. Now we're going to go through this case in the Braisa. We're going to spend a good part of the rest of the daf focusing now on this Braisa, this particular case in the Braisa. So what did we say? Supposed to remember again, this is the case, two chatzeros, home in the middle, filled with straw. So the straw pile is 10 tefachim high. Each chatzer makes its own Erev. If the straw pile is diminished over the course of Shabbos, then what? The two chatzeros become what? Effectively, halachically, one chatzer, but because they did not join in a joint Erev on Erev Shabbos, but they each have their own individual Eruvim, halacha l'maaseh, no one's allowed to carry either of the chatzeros. So the Gemara says, ha asara shari. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, so as long as the grain pile maintains a height, I keep saying grain, but I mean straw, as long as the straw pile maintains its height of 10 tefachim, everybody is good. They will say, interestingly enough, afagav dimidaye tikra tuva. They will say, interestingly enough, even though 10 tefachim is not a lot of height. See, even though, again, the top of the pile is far from the ceiling of the house, nevertheless, as long as the pile is 10 tefachim high, that serves as a mechitza in between the two chatzeros, even though, again, there's a significant distance between the ceiling of the home and the top of the pile. Shema mina mechitzos shemageos latikra, shman mechitzos. Rabbi, say, what do you see from here? You see, remember, that partitions that do not reach to the ceiling, to the roof of a structure, are still considered to be chatzeros. But remember, we had this case. This was the case, again, of the mansion that was divided up into five parts, and you had five different groups staying in that mansion. So remember, again, we were discussing, do they have five different eruvim? Can they join in one eruv? And part of that discussion was, what happens if you have partitions that do not reach to the top, to the ceiling? So you see from here, Abosai, the fact that a straw pile that is 10 tefachim high, that is situated inside of a home, serves as a mechitza between two chatzeros, tells me that what? That even a mechitza that doesn't reach the ceiling is still what? Still called the mechitza. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayi HaKabayi Shloshasar Chatzer Mashu. But maybe not. Maybe we're doing a very short house. And we'll say the rooftop of this house is what? Is actually 13 tefachim minus a bit. We'll call it, you know, 12 and 9 tenths tefachim. Right? That's the amount, that's the height of the roof. Therefore, we'll say, if you have a grain pile that measures 10 tefachim, therefore what? It's loved to the top of the roof. And everyone agrees that if you have a mechitza that's loved to the roof, that's considered to be attached. Okay, point the Gemara's making, I will say, is don't draw any conclusions from this case regarding the status of mechitzos that don't reach the roof. Because I could just as easily set this up as a situation where the mechitza, in fact, does reach within loved of the roof. B'tavin asara, so the Gemara says, chazer mashkan, skinon, b'tavin asara. Funa b'ed Rav Yeshua, amar afilu tema b'ayis asara. It can even be ultimately, again, in a home where the height of the ceiling is 10 tefachim amadeis, the teven shiva umashu. Both say, this is fascinating. Or I could set it up like this. The case is where the height of the ceiling in the home is 10 tefachim, and the grain pile itself is only 7 tefachim and a bit, and yet it'll still work, by Rabbi Hussein, because a pile of straw that is 7 tefachim and a bit, enclosed in a home that has a ceiling height of 10 tefachim, works. Why does it work? One word. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It's all about love it. So the Gemara says, D'chol pachas mishlosha k'lava dami. Because again, this is actually quite fascinating. I'm both saying now, this actually is really very fascinating because you're talking about a pile of straw. You see, generally when we speak about love it, we're speaking about a connection between what I guess we call more substantive or solid entities. Yet interestingly enough, what we begin to see over here is that if you have a pile of straw. That pile of straw is 7 tefachim and a bit. Inside of a home that has a ceiling height of 10 tefachim, that pile of straw is considered to be lovered to the ceiling, thereby creating an effective mechitza. Quite amazing. So according to Abaye, ultimately, again, so we'll say Abaye was of the opinion that halacha l'maisa, we're talking about a pile that is 10 tefachim, with a ceiling height that is 13 tefachim minus a bit. So that makes sense because the Braisa itself speaks about the height of a straw pile of 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, El Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua Maya Me'asara. What does it mean when the Braisa speaks about the height of the pile diminishing from 10? Mitoras Asara. So we'll say it means that we're speaking about a pile that is what we'll call in the Toras Asara, in the halachos concerning 10 tefachim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, according to this approach, you can have a pile of straw that effectively acts as a mechisa, even though it is not 10 tefachim. How can you have that if the pile of straw is housed in a home which has a ceiling height of 10 tefachim, and the pile of straw itself is 7 tefachim minus a bit, or excuse me, 7 tefachim and a bit, then halacha lemaisa, toras lavud connects the pile of straw ultimately, again, with the ceiling. Pretty incredible. Shnei nasun. So we'll say, remember, again, if, however, same case, two chatzeros, house in the middle filled with straw, pile of straws, 10 tefachim high, that divides the two chatzeros. They each make their own individual eruv. What happens, we'll say, if over the course of Shabbos, so the pile is diminished, it is no longer 10 tefachim high. So we'll say, both of the chatzeros are asur. What do you see from here? Shmamina, the urine habon b'Shabbos asurin. So we'll say, interesting enough, what do you see from here? That if new residents come on Shabbos, they aser the chaser. So we'll say, now what does that mean? So this is not our topic now, but we'll say, but ultimately, again, we will see it. Actually, we already made reference to this idea. But I will say, Allah Almighty say, if new residents show up in the chaser on Shabbos, who did not participate in the Erev on Erev Shabbos, they have the ability to aser the Erev that was made. Rabbi said, this is another way of saying that if new factors come into play on Shabbos, they have the ability to impact the Erev. And Rabbi said, now what's the Chiddush there? Because I would have thought, we actually spoke about this last night in our Smichas Chav Yashir. So Rabbi said, generally, we assume that the status of certain things, most notably Erev, are locked in when? Locked in when? Ben Hashmashos, beginning of Shabbos. But yet, interestingly enough, therefore, again, I would have thought, if I was structuring this halakha, I would have thought, when do you need the pile of straw to be 10 tefachim? When do you need to be 10 tefachim? When? Ben Hashmashos. And as long as it's 10 tefachim at Ben Hashmashos, it doesn't really matter what happens over the course of this. But you see that that's not the case. You see that halacha l'maisa, if the height of the pile changes over the course of Shabbos, that will restrict the members of the respective chatzeros. So you see from here, I will say that what? That developments over the course of Shabbos absolutely impact the chatzar. Good. To which the Gemara says, maybe not Dilma, the imat mi esmo. Maybe we're actually talking about a case when the Braisa talks about that the height of the straw pile diminished. Maybe it actually diminished when? Maybe it diminished actually Erev Shabbos. Maybe it diminished Erev Shabbos. Okay, good. Meaning it's not a raya. Keitzer vosa, no less basim about the Roshosa. So we'll say, so remember again, if the straw pile was diminished, on Shabbos, therefore, must remember again. So, to be clear, what's happened in our case over here? Because there was a pile of straw housed in this structure in between two chatzeros, and the pile of straw was 10 tefachim high, that's a mechitza. Because it's a mechitza A and B, chatzeros A and B are separate. Because they're separate, they each make their own respective eruvim. Now, what happens, Rabbi will say, on Shabbos, the height of the straw pile is diminished. So, Rabbi will say, what's the status? Usser. Because now, Rabbi will say, again, although A has its own eruv and B has its own eruv, the absence of the mechitza in between them really requires a joint Erev. But it's already Shabbos. You can't make an Erev on Shabbos. Therefore, neither of them could carry. The only remedy, Rabbi said, that the Mishnah said was what? So one side of this equation, right, one of the chatzeros could choose to lock up their home, right, lock up their home, and yield their rights to the members of the other chatzer. And if they do that, then what? Then the members who yielded cannot carry, but the members who were yielded to can carry. So it says the Gemara Tarti. Why do I need both? In other words, the Mishnah said you have to close your home and yield your rights. Hachi, so why do I have to close my home and yield? In other words, we'll say, where do we see all that? We learned this before. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? I have to yield. What do I have to close my home and yield my rights? Hachi Kamar. Oh no, alas beso omavatos shus. Oh, the Gemara says, no, you're right. You don't have to do both. You either have to close off your home or yield your rights. Which I will say again, closing off your home is effectively the same, seems like the same thing as yielding your rights. So you have to do one or the other. Vibay same, the olam tarti. Other pastor says, no, you actually have to do both. Why? So Gemara says, keva nidash be asilat atule. Because I will say, this is a little bit different. In this case over here, because ultimately, again, the members of one side, right? One of them, one of the guys, is used to constantly carrying, right? Also, by the way, utilizing the straw, taking from his home. So because they're used to it, there's a concern that if they don't close off their home, they're going to come to inadvertently use the areas. Therefore, it could very well be that in this case, it will require both a yielding and the closing off. Huasa bechaveiro mutter. So we'll say again, and if you go ahead and you yield and close off your home, so the one who yielded and closed off, he can't carry, but the others can carry. Pshita, that's obvious. Lo tzichi, the hader idach ubatal yechavrei. We'll say no, because what could happen over here? Let's say B originally closed off and yielded to A. And now A decides, you know what, okay, I used it for 2 hours. Now I'm going to yield and close off my chatzar to you. So that allows B to carry. To which the Gemara says, Valkamashwan de in Mabatlan, the Chosu Mabatlan. The Mishnah is teaching that it doesn't work. That Allah Lamaisa, this works in one direction. So one side, one chatzar could choose to close off and yield to the other, but you can't keep going back and forth over the course of Shabbos. If Chin Ata Omer, Begov, Shel, Tevin, Shevin, Shnei, Tchumi Shabbos, and Abba said the same Allah would apply to a pile of straw in between two Tchumin. So we'll say again, I have two Tchums that overlap each other. That pile of straw is in between them. To which the Gemara says, Pshito, okay, like why do you have to go ahead and illustrate this? Why would a tchum be any different ultimately again than two chatzeros? So the tzricha Rabbi Akiva, both says neither according to Rabbi Akiva, do Amar tchumin d'oraisa. Because also remember again, Rabbi Akiva holds that the din of tchum is a din d'oraisa, as opposed to everyone else who holds that tchum is d'rabbanon. Rabbi Akiva holds that tchum is d'oraisa. Ma'udatim, what would you have thought? Ligzar dilma asilech lufei. So I say, I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, if you have this straw pile that halacha lemaisa is between two tchumin, I would have thought, you know what? Don't let either member of either tchum take from the straw. Why not, Rabosai? Because maybe there's a concern that what's going to end up happening, if I'm in tchum A and Reuven's in tchum B, and if we're both taking from the same pile, I may come to carry certain items ultimately again from my tchum to his tchum. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that is an Isser D'Oraisa. So I might have thought maybe when an Isser D'Oraisa comes about, we don't allow people to share a common straw pile. Kamashalana, that is not the case. Kamashalana will say that even in the case of a straw pile in between two chatzeros, ultimately again, both are permitted to use from the straw. We'll stop over here at the Mishnah. All right, we'll have a lot to do in Yerzah Hashem tomorrow. Shkayach, everyone.